welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
So, again, this morning, we're here to share briefly about this awesome day that we're in. You know, we need to magnify God. I'm going to ask you to stand a minute. Well, hold on. Let me just say something for you. We need to magnify God. Our God is so great. He misses nothing. You know, a hair of your head can't fall, scriptures, without him not knowing. He misses nothing. And our God not only is so great in areas like that and the outworking of his love in your life and mine, whether we deserve it or not, his love is awesome. He is love. That means everything about him, everything that he does, cannot be without love. Of course, we know what the Bible says about his love for us. His love is awesome. And I was just thinking and meditating on that as I sat there this morning, this great love of God. No, he was in the beginning. He is the eternal I am. He is self-sufficient, self-reliant. All things are in his hands. All things were made by him, and there was nothing made that was not made by him. The Bible says that the worlds were framed by the words of his mouth and were made not of things known and made, but he made them from nothing. My Lord, what a God we have. And then when you go on and to consider this love of God, this God who is all-knowing, all-sufficient, all-powerful, is love. Wow! And then when you think about this God who in the beginning, because he is all-knowing and all-powerful, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows your tomorrow. He knows your end. He knows mine. He knows the good things that are in front of you that you're going to walk into, and he knows the bad things that you're going to open yourself up to. He's God. But I want to, the thought was this. The Bible says, in the beginning was aware of the end. Hallelujah. And we're rejoicing on this day, which is Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus rose from the dead. How about that? No wonder Paul, you'll hear me say things like this at times, no wonder Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 said that God wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of God's power towards those that believe. According to the working of God's mighty power, when he wrought Jesus Christ from the dead and raised him into life. Praise God. He wants us to know that sort of power. Well, our God has that sort of power. And the Bible says in Revelation, it says that before the foundations of the earth were laid, there was a lamb slain. Revelation talks about it. Jesus was already planned as the sacrifice for man's sin before the foundation of the earth. Come on, stand with me. Let's magnify God, shall we? Hallelujah. 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 We bless you, Father. We exalt your name. We magnify you today, Lord God Almighty, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We exalt you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Let's be seated. There are no accidents with God. There is nothing he doesn't know. There is nothing he cannot do. And the Bible says he planned for this before the foundation of the earth. The lamb was slain. God was aware that there was going to be a need for a lamb that could pay the supreme price for our sin. I haven't got much time, but I do want to address a little bit about this great day. Easter Sunday, Easter. Christ being nailed to that cross, beaten almost to a pulp prior to it, and being put in a tomb, but the tomb couldn't hold him. I'd love to take you through scriptures, but let's stay with the time. The tomb couldn't hold him. Hallelujah. And he rose again the third day. Why? Why Resurrection Sunday? What is it all about? What is all of that about? We have to go way back to the beginning to start to answer that question. Father God lost his family, the family who he loved, the family that he brought into being. He lost them. He lost them to somebody else. He lost them to another. Adam and Eve, whom he loved, they were precious to him. Somebody else came along on the scene of time. We know it was Satan. And he stole their affection. They placed their affection off God and onto Satan, and they disconnected with God's ways and God's words and connected with Satan's ways and Satan's words, and they accepted another over their father. But God is love. God is love. He didn't only lose his beloved Adam and Eve, but he lost their downline unto this generation. Hear me. He lost their downline, their children, their children's children, their children's children's children, until this present day. He lost them all. God's family was preoccupied with another. And the problem was that the way that they were being led and the way that they were behaving and the way that they were going meant utter eternal destruction for them. What a God we have. What a God we have. The Bible says, I remind you, that God had a lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. What's it all about? What did God do about that? Well, John 3:16 tells us this. It says this, that God so loved the world, even in its state, even in its fallen state, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave. No, there's something wrong there. No, he's just lost everything and he's going to give his treasure for it. Yeah. How did he handle it? He gave. He gave his only begotten son. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish. There's a place of reconciliation with God. There's a place where you can leave the past and be reconciled with God. You can leave the mess and you can be reconciled with peace and joy, which is in the kingdom of God. God made a way. He gave his son. You know, Luke 6:38 follows through on that. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. It seems to me that God at the beginning of time established a spiritual principle based upon giving. I want to tell you, because God gave his son, he's not only got his son back, but he's got millions and millions of his kids back. Hallelujah. And I'm one of them. And this place is probably filled primarily with those who are born again. And throughout our town, throughout our land, there are great churches preaching and sharing the wonderful love of God through Christ Jesus today. Hallelujah. God gave his own son. That was his answer. God gave. Praise the Lord. He just gave. I stand amazed at that. Could we put up, I have to move quickly, would be 1 John 3:8. Would you look at this scripture? God gave his son. But why did he give in? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now, this is where I want. For this purpose, the Son of God, God's Son, Jesus Christ, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, came onto the earth, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, when he gave his Son, he didn't just give him an offering, up as an offering. He gave him up with purpose. Hallelujah. He gave him up with an expected end, as sure as when he spoke out those words and said, "Let there be," and there was. Read it through Genesis 1. "Let there be," and it was. As surely as he spoke those words, and it happened. So as surely, when he gave his Son, he sent him down, gave him into the hands of Satan for a purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. They said, "If you take my life, yet will I rise again," said Jesus. You can take my life. It's just flesh and blood. It's just a physical being. But you see, God is a spirit man, and you and I are spirit people. Hallelujah. You've heard me say, the Bible will teach you, you are a spirit. You have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. The Bible says in Genesis 1 that you and I were made in the image and likeness of God. Well, because he has no form, we're not talking about a body. We're talking about who he is, and God is a spirit. And John 4 says, "They that worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth." And so praise the Lord. Here we have this wonderful statement that God, Jesus Christ, was made manifest. What does that mean? He came down to this planet. The Son of God came down here. For men and women to see, but for the enemy to become aware of, that he was now going to handle another flesh and blood being, but there was something different. In this man, there was no sin. I'd have to take you back. We haven't got time, but let me just remind you that when Jesus was born, and God was all in the plan of God, "I will give my Son." When God gave his Son and he came, he didn't come by a woman. He was born to a virgin. He was born to a virgin. No man was involved. When Jesus Christ was born, he was born to a virgin. How is that able to happen? It's a miracle. Yes, it was a miracle. Because the Bible says that there was no man had any contact with this woman. But the Holy Spirit came down, the Bible says, and hovered over her. And the miracle power of God brought about in this woman's womb the man-child Jesus. And the blood, the Bible says, that goes into a child doesn't come from the mother, it comes from the father. And the blood that belonged to God the Father came through and was in the veins of Jesus. And the blood that was in Jesus was spotless, sinless blood. Hallelujah. And the devil had nothing over him. He couldn't hang anything over him. He couldn't accuse him of anything. He couldn't threaten him with anything. Glory to God. And now the devil's got his hands full. He'd taken God's kids, but God gave him his own kid. For that to happen, he had to have a child, his own kid, on the planet. And Jesus was born of a virgin. Praise God. Born of a virgin. One that now was one with his God before anything else. One that would do the bidding of his father and had the ability to carry out whatever his father asked him to do. Hallelujah. He was able to exercise power over all of the power of the devil. He was able to do that. So why did Jesus go to the cross? Why this day of resurrection? Why did he have to die and rise again? Well, I guess if you thought about it for a moment, you would understand. But the Bible says this, I'm being very quick, just throwing a few thoughts together. It says, first and foremost, not only that Jesus came, but he came for a purpose. But he came that he, in the words of Scripture, would carry our sin and bear our guilt. I should turn you to a scripture like Isaiah. Could we put that up quickly? Isaiah 53, verse 4. Maybe verse 4 through to 8. Okay. Surely, he's talking of Jesus. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Verse 8, we leave it there. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. Praise God. So he carried that. He took that. That he took that on the cross. When he was nailed to that cross, that's what he was carrying, your guilt and mine. And you know, not only that, and I should bring this into this little bit, when he was on the cross, while he was on the cross carrying that weight of your sin and mine, and of your guilt and mine, your lack of acceptance of God as God and Jesus his Son, your Savior, when he was carrying that, the time came, you can read it in your own scriptures in Matthew 28, and he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which being translated would say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But that's what God did. God had to forsake him. Why? Why? The Bible says God cannot look upon sin. And at that point in time on the cross, Jesus Christ was carrying your sin, my sin, the sin of the past generations and the sin of any future generations before Jesus came. And there was his Son dying, hanging on the cross, carrying your guilt and my shame and the punishment for it. And God had to turn away from him. So the heart of his Son cried out, "Dad, Dad, why have you forsaken me?" And he did it for you. And he did it for me. My Lord, I can hardly take that in. But then the Bible tells me this: God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. That's what this day is about. That's what today is that we're celebrating. We're alive and able to celebrate today. Those of us that have repented and give our lives to God in Christ Jesus are born again, as the Bible says, are a new creation, Scripture says. And all things have passed away and all things have become new. Praise the Lord. I'm a new creation. I'm not who I was. Anyone that used to know me, you don't know this man, because I'm a new creation. I'm alive in God by the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And so are you if you're born again. Let me just quickly add another dimension. He hung on the cross, you and I. But you know, in his death, let's put up Galatians 3, 13 and 14 will do us. Look at this. Mark, if you have your Bibles, mark it out. Verse 13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law." Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that if you're saved? I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Listen to this. Having become a curse for us. When Jesus died, he became a curse, and in so doing, he has delivered me. He has become a curse instead of me and has redeemed me from that curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. So the second thing that Jesus did, he became a curse for me. That curse, what curse is that? That's the curse that Adam and Eve introduced when they joined another. That's that curse that came upon mankind, upon the very earth itself. That's that curse that from that moment on, man and women had to bear their living by the sweat of their brow. Before that, God's intention for you and me as God's generation, had it not been broken by Adam and Eve choosing another, and we being on his downline of descendants, and I don't know how many years away from him, but I'm on Adam's downline. And God had me in mind. He had you in mind. Glory to God. Jesus became a curse for me too. Why? God's whole plan of Calvary, of Jesus coming, of Christ dying on the cross, being buried. Oh, I'd love to go into it. I would love it. Praise God. The tomb couldn't hold my Jesus. He is the author of life himself. How could the tomb hold him? My Lord. And there was Jesus. But let's go to verse 14. There's a purpose for which he became a curse. Listen, here it is. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. That you and I, who are outside of God's people, outside of God, might come upon the Gentiles. How? In Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. If we had time, we could take a wonderful journey here. But we need to stop and understand why Jesus Christ became a curse for us. God was in the process of restoring everything back to what he had purposed and planned when he had Adam and Eve in the garden. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, I am restored according to this word, and I live, believe it, and I act the way I do because I believe it. I have been redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, by the blood of the Lamb. I am restored to a pre-Adamic fall that Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from all sin. I am restored. I am back in fellowship with my Father. I don't have any other lovers. I don't have anyone above him. He is my daddy. Hallelujah. He has redeemed me. And the reason we're celebrating today is because God demonstrated his absolute, supreme, almighty, unchallengeable power. The devil has no place to measure up to him when he raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Why did he raise him from the dead? Why are we celebrating today? Because if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, there'd be no resurrection. If Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, Satan would be walking around pruning himself and sticking his chest out saying, he said, I've got him. I have defeated him. Hallelujah. But in his dreams, Jesus triumphed over sin, death, and hell, the scripture says. Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. Let's clap God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We magnify your name. So, without doing it real justice, why? Why? Answer the question that I asked, what's it all about? It was all about redeeming us back to himself. Having had another control us all of our lives. You and I have been subject to the power of Satan without knowing it all your lives. You may still be, unless you're born again. If you haven't given your life to Jesus by faith, fully believing it, not with your head, but with your heart, to the degree that there's a change in you, because it's a heart change. You are born again. Say, how Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can a man be born again? Can he enter his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said to him, you don't know what it's all about. You're thinking just carnally. All as you can think about is human beings' bodies, but that body will decay. You are not your body. Your body is just the house you live in, but you are a spirit, and that spirit is eternal. Where it's going to go in eternity is what's important. Is it going to go to the one who wooed my children away, or have you been restored to your true heavenly Father? That's brought about by salvation. That's brought about by repentance and faith. That's brought about by, as I did, some of you have heard, inside a car at my steering wheel, bowing the knee before God with the steering wheel as my altar and saying, God, my Father, I really don't understand all of this, but what I've read in your word here, I believe it. Please forgive me. Come into my life as my Savior and lead me. Hallelujah. I did that, and it didn't take me, you may have heard me say, it didn't take me 40 seconds. But I was back in my seat, pulled my seat back, was back sitting in it. No butterflies down my heart, but I was changed. I can't explain it. I've been changed, and I'm still being changed today. From that day many years ago, I was changed. It's not a work of the intellect, it's a work of the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God is the God of love. It's God that touches your life. And when love touches your life, I'm not talking about filial love, family love. I'm not talking about eros love, physical relationship love. I'm talking about that love of another kind. I'm talking about God's love, agape love. That's that love of another kind. You can't even begin to understand it, but when it touches your life, hallelujah. There is no power force to compare with it. It transforms you, it changes you, and I've been changed into a new creation. Hallelujah. If you want to know what I'm like, get your Bibles out sometime, and even do it when you leave here, and look at 1 Corinthians 5, 17 to 25. And you'll find out what's happened to me. And what this day is all about, Resurrection Sunday, is that you will be born again. Though you're dead presently in your trespass and sin, because you're outside of God and His love, when you turn to Him, you will be born again. No longer dead in your trespass and sin, but born again by the Spirit of the Lord.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk.